Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hey there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, looking at just a rousing subject this week.
Oh, yes.
But important, and that is the importance of insurance. Good insurance for good estate planning. We kind of started last week on this and talked about car insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance. And
yeah.
This week, we're going to get more into life insurance and how that's so important.
Right. And why would I ever talk about this? Well, I was just listening to the opening bumper there, and it says we're going to talk about how to protect wealth. Well, insurance is a protector during your lifetime. And so,
big time.
So it protects your wealth. So why is it an important conversation in estate planning? Because that is what it does. And if you want to make sure that you have a nice line of defense, you have to have a good car insurance. We talked about umbrella policies, home insurance, and how that needs to also have an additional insured, as well as umbrella policies have to have the same home insurance and umbrella policies. And then we moved into very briefly disability, and we spent the last part of the show last week on long-term care. Of course, you can find that podcast and all other podcasts at legacyandfaith.com. So it is an important conversation. And why does it fall into my hands? Because my job is to try to make sure that you are shielded during your lifetime and then have something to pass off to the next generation as you envision. Insurance plays a critical role in making sure you have your insurances at their highest level to protect you is something that I take a look at. Now, I don't get paid a penny for having
an insurance salesman.
I am not. I am not licensed for insurance. And so I am looking at this from the legal perspective only, which is from the legal perspective, how do we protect ourselves? I get that question all the time. How do I protect myself? Can I set up businesses? Well, there's a way to do that, to give businesses a little bit of a shield. Can I use a trust to protect me? Not your foundational planning, not a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust will still have all of your assets in your Social Security number, such as bank accounts, investment accounts, IRAs, and you fully control your trust. So because you have full power and control, because the assets are still yours to use, then a revocable living trust gives you absolutely no protection at all in and of itself. When you die, then a revocable living trust becomes irrevocable. And if it is done well, if it is done right, and if it is administered properly, then it can protect the people you leave behind. But during your lifetime, the way we protect you is to make sure that you have good insurance. And so I want to take a holistic viewpoint of my clients. I don't want to just have somebody walk in, give them a templated will or trust and say, good luck. That doesn't work. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, what I believe is happening is that that's what most attorneys do, is that they're not looking at your insurance. They're not looking at you holistically. So that needs to be done. It needs to be done with every single person. And insurance is a big discussion point that I have with each and every client to make sure that they're well protected. Mm. And as you let in, a life insurance could certainly have a place in somebody's estate plan. And so, unfortunately, there are some who are just opposed to life insurance. Okay, I don't know. I get a little bit jaded the longer I do this. I see the benefit or the place where life insurance may work for someone. And so I don't have either a you must get this or a let's not even talk about it mentality. I want to sit someone down and say, is there a place where this could be beneficial for you in terms of your protection for your family and your finances and the ability to leave wealth? Mm. So life insurance is certainly a part of the discussion that we need to have.
two kinds of life insurance, term life and whole life. Can you quickly tell us what kind of the difference between those two?
Yeah. So a term life is exactly what it's saying, is that there's going to be a term on it. Most of the time, they're 10 and 20 year policies. And what that does is you are going to get a quote that if you die, because that's the only way life insurance works, you have to die, that you are going to leave a certain sum of money to a beneficiary. And in the term, you are going to have a fixed rate. So you are going to pay the same amount every month or every year, depending on what payment cycle you want, monthly, quarterly, annually. And for the amount of the term, 10, 20, and sometimes even 30-year policies, you're going to have a fixed rate. And so, but if you don't die within that term policy, then the policy will go into, after the term, they will send you a bill, and it's going to be a lot higher because now they're recalculating based upon your current age versus the age that you were.
So these like $20 a month, those are only people who are very healthy and 20 years old.
Well, and it's also just a burial policy, what you see on TV commercials, which is we can insure you for $9.99. Well, you're getting a $5,000 policy, and it's just a burial policy. That's all it's meant for. Uh-huh. That's going to take anywhere from 30 to 60 days before your family actually gets it. So somebody's just getting reimbursed. So it's not going to be there for the burial policy. So that's what those commercials are doing, which is we'll insure anybody. Yes, of course, you'll take their money. And so life insurance is for term is really necessary specifically when you're younger and you're starting out a family. So I had term policy for 20 years. I actually still have some just because I have a building and there's financial reasons for me to have it. So that if anything happened to me, I would have sufficient cash that the building I own where I have my law office, my wife would have a better opportunity to be able to maintain that asset instead of being stuck in a pickle.
Question about you mentioned how long it takes to get these payouts. How long is it off the top of your head? How long does it take to get a life insurance claim back? Like you die in like months before you get that money?
I had the fastest one get turned around actually just recently, which was 3 weeks.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's pretty quick. Yeah. That's the fastest I've ever seen. Mm. And then I've had others that have taken 3 and 4+ months because they gave us one form and then they say, oh, no, that's not the form we want. Oh, we need this information. Oh, by the way, do you have the policy? And the list goes on of questions back and forth. So it can take a little bit longer. This is money for term policy that is going to be added to somebody to help support them, in my opinion. That is the best use of it. So young families, if you have children, you have minors, sit down and maybe a life insurance specialist would be able to tell you exactly how long and how much you need. But if you thought about that, I have small kids and I want to get them through college. Well, there's the term. So probably, you know, if you have a 5-year-old, they're going to get out of college at the age of 25. What is cost going to be for college at that point in time? $500,000. So, and that would just have to be put into an investment. Maybe a surviving spouse could use a little bit of it, but it wouldn't be for the spouse. So, would you need more? Probably, potentially, specifically depending on your goal. So term policy is really good for younger families and to fill in the gap if something happens to you, income replacement so somebody can grieve, or you want to set up a better financial life for your family, specifically when they're younger. Now, permanent policies come in different types. They come in whole life, universal. Those are very, very different creatures. Whole life policies, the insurance is taking a lot of the risk. So those premiums are going to be higher. It's permanent. So they are going to give you a specific cost and it's going to be for the rest of your life. And when you die, then you get a value back. Most permanent policies also have a cash value so that when you put money in, There's a cash value that is growing in there that you could borrow that tax-free. It's a loan against the life insurance policy. So nothing is free. The insurance interest would start in the background, but you could receive some of that money back. It's going to dilute the ultimate death benefit, whether it's whole life or universal. And so you're going to lose part of your death benefit. However, there could be a benefit of having availability to tax-free money.
I've heard
if you
a lot
ever
of cons
it.
On the whole life approach, that a lot of people aren't real fans of that.
Well, and others are extraordinary fans. Yeah. So you can go either
kind
way.
It depends what your needs are.
That really is the bottom line, is why are you getting it and what is your ultimate goal? So there's philosophies out there called bank on yourself, where they're trying to teach you to overpay your premiums so that it adds to the cash value and you can have money back, or you can use it in the future. And instead of using a car loan, you can from a bank, you can use it from yourself.
So it's more like an investment.
Yes, and oftentimes universal, though, the difference is that they are going to put some of your money in the market. Usually it's tied to the market, to some sort of index. And so universal, you have to be a financial advisor. You have to have your specific series in order to invest that. And that's going to be in the market. So the market is going to bear some of the risk instead of whole life as a guarantee, and the insurance company is going to bear the risk. So those are the differences just in a very, very general high-level discussion. Those are some of the major differences. They are going to operate very similarly, which is you're going to redirect part of your wealth into a different investment. And that investment is called a life insurance policy. Whether it's whole life or whether it's universal, it's not money that is going to be lost. It is an investment. You are transferring your current value away from the market into a different policy, and it becomes a part of your portfolio. So this is an asset. If you wanted to collapse it, you would actually get some money back. And so unlike term, which is you pay every month, you pay quarterly, you pay annually, that money is forever gone unless you die. There is no investment, right. But the term is solid. So the rub against universal is because it is put into the market. If the market does not perform long term, then when you start getting into your 70s, the underlying insurance costs may start to rise so much that they come back to you and ask for more money. Again, you bore the risk because you invested. There was an investment component within that tool. The whole life policy, they're not going to come back and ask you for more money. It's going to cost more each month, but the insurance company is taking the risk. That's one of the big differences between whole life versus universal. You can usually get universal cheaper because the risk is still on you because your money is being invested in the market, and it depends on how the market flows. Whole life, more expensive per month, but the insurance company is going to help you out and make sure that the policy is in force for the rest of your life.
The importance of insurance in estate planning, the discussion this week will continue in just a moment. You like how Paul thinks on these subjects and you want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and more, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith. Faith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the importance of insurance, different kinds of insurance in good estate planning. Paul's been talking about the importance of different kinds of life insurance, and you want to tell us who should be considering these kinds of insurance?
Yeah, and again, I don't get paid a penny. I'm not licensed to sell life insurance or disability, long-term care. It is not a license I hold. But it has a profound effect on your estate plan.
Yeah.
And so that's why it has to be talked about at this show, because mm-hmm. it's an estate planning preservation tool, specifically mm-hmm. when we start getting into permanent policies like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So term policies can be great to make sure that money is left behind to those you care, that they can use it and have a better financial future. Typically, permanent policies, whole life, universal, are built with to accomplish maybe the same goal, but yet they're going to be a part of your asset base permanently. And so who should consider this? Number one, oftentimes if you have an estate tax concern, then life insurance should definitely be a part of the discussion. So in Washington state, an individual can have $2.193 million. And if they have more than that, then an estate tax will start at 15% on everything over that exemption amount. So one option, a very, very easy option that a lot of people can relate to and understand, is having a permanent policy in your portfolio, in your financial portfolio, that will pay out money. Remember, I told you the worst case scenario is around 4 months. Well, an estate tax is due within 9. So we still have time, even in a worst case scenario, that you have a $1 million permanent policy, whether it's whole life, whether it's universal, it doesn't matter. You pass away. Now we have $1 million of cash within, let's say, 4 months, hopefully sooner than that. But at the worst, hopefully 4 months is coming, and that now can be preserved and used to pay any type of an estate tax that you may be facing, or at least mitigate the estate tax. So here's the thing. That is not an estate tax solution. In other words, it only offers cash to pay for the estate tax. So if you have rental properties, you may not want to sell off a rental property or have your family do a fire sale of a rental property. Maybe they've taken on the value that this is how mom and dad built wealth. We want to maintain them. Fantastic. Life insurance is potentially a tool that you need in your financial portfolio to ensure that we have cash to pay that tax bill within 9 months when it's due. So cash is great. Right? Cash is king. It doesn't matter if you have a financial opportunity, if you want to buy a building, or if you need cash in an estate plan, it may be a very useful tool. I practice all over Washington. I have people on the east side of the mountains. They own farmland and orchards, and they're in more rural communities. Many farmers are land rich, cash poor. So should they be considering ensuring that before they're faced down the barrel of dying with extremely appreciated property, there are some tax alleviation laws, but for farmers or for those who own orchards, so in the farming community, but they're insufficient. So would it be wise, if you are living really month to month, year to year, if you had a bad year, then, boy, it really stings in the farming community. Mm. Well, if you have this permanent policy, you have the security that the farmland is going to be kept in the family because we have a way to have cash to pay any tax bill and get rid of it. Yeah, there's 15-year extensions and a bunch of other things that we can do, but why not just pay it and have the family not have that hanging over them, and really have that cash available? So so who should be thinking about permanent policies? If you're a business owner, if you own farmland, if you have an estate tax concern. All of these different scenarios, there's many others, but those are some of the ones that come to mind right off the top of my head. These type of clients are going to potentially need cash right out of the gate. Why business owners? Because if you don't have cash and you are the lifeblood of the company you run, how are we going to maintain it? How do we hire extra people to take your place and make sure that the business runs at capacity so that it can either be sold or be the blessing you anticipate it to be for your family? If you don't have that insurance wrapper, specifically a permanent policy, then you may be jeopardizing your business if something ever happens to you. So who should be considering life insurance? Many people actually should be considering it. It is a financial tool. And when you use permanent policies, there is something that is going to come back. And so it could be a perfect tool. It may not be a good tool for you. I have no horse in this race. Mm-hmm. And so sitting down with my clients, looking at it objectively, for their best interest to accomplish their best goals with their family situation, with their business, with their properties, with their wealth desires, life insurance may actually be a part of what is necessary.
Particularly if you're wanting to preserve the assets and not have to sell them off to pay bills.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So you think of a family farm for sure in that scenario.
Yeah.
Well, I heard of that life insurance is tax-free. Is that true?
Well, the life insurance industry has done a fantastic job to talk about tax-free. So let's play that out a bit because part of it is true, but just part of it. So it is income tax-free. So therefore, the beneficiary is going to receive the death benefit and they are not going to need to pay income tax on that money. Okay. So it is income tax free. It is not estate tax free. And that's where the life insurance industry has not been completely truthful. Mm. So income, yes, the beneficiary will receive it income. I believe even if there is an inheritance tax, there's only a few states that have it. Most of them are in the Midwest nowadays. I think even life insurance is exempt from inheritance tax, but it is not exempt from estate tax. So let's uncover that just a tick. Right. I told you that you have – that each individual – so if you're married, you get to double it. But each individual has $2,193,000 that they can exempt from Washington state estate tax. The current limits, which are supposed to come down next year, are at $14 million per person federally. So that's a much, much higher number. But in Washington, a lower number. There's a lot of people who have $2 million now just because houses are worth $1 million in most cases, or $800,000. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take much to be a millionaire. Man, when I was a kid, I thought, if I could just be a millionaire, that'd be fantastic. the whole definition has changed. Mm. So now we have an estate tax. Because you own the life insurance policy, because you control the life insurance policy, and you can name who the beneficiary is or who the beneficiaries will be, then this is called, under IRS rule, an incident of ownership. So if you own something, then the value of that must be added to your estate value. So if someone is worth exactly $2 million, you would look at them and go, oh, they're not over the exemption amount, so they're not going to have a estate tax in Washington to worry about. But then you find out they have a $500,000 life insurance policy. Now we have to add in that $500,000, and all of a sudden they're worth $2.5 million. Now we have a bucket of money that was advertised or talked about as tax-free, actually causing a 15% tax on the estate. So it's not estate tax because you have to add the value in. Now in my example, that client is worth $2.5 million. They die. They are over the exemption amount by $300,000 or thereabouts, and we've lost some of that life insurance benefit. There are ways we can create an irrevocable trust, an irrevocable life insurance trust. It's an ILIT is what we call it internally. And that's a way to get it out of your estate and create a whole different bucket to make sure that indeed when the value goes to this bucket, it's not a part of your estate. So there's tools and ways that we can maneuver the life insurance policy to ensure that it is tax-free, but on both accounts, both income and estate tax. But it is income tax-free, so in other words, the beneficiary does not have to go to their 1040 in the year that they receive it and record it as I received life insurance and I have to pay taxes on it as if it was income to me. No, that is tax-free. However, it is not estate tax-free, but there are ways that we can maneuver that to ensure that it is estate tax-free. But we got to have the conversation. We got to talk about your estate as a holistically. Why do you need life insurance? Is it still the right tool versus when it was introduced to you? And how do we shift it to so that we can preserve as much wealth as what you envision for your family and for those that you leave behind?
Importance of insurance in estate planning. It is important with good estate planning to have that. How do people get in touch with you with your services, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.